You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 26, please. Let's stand together, Brother Panera, and you show us how we're going to read the Bible.
1 Samuel chapter 26, and when you found your place, if you could please stand with us. We'll ask the ushers to go ahead and come forward at this time. We'll have them ready for the offering. As we read, and I'll go ahead and read the passage this morning and ask you to follow along. 1 Samuel chapter 26, beginning in verse 13, and I'll read through verse 21. The Bible says, "Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he answered, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the word of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Let's bow our heads together in prayer. God, what a privilege it is to come to your house today. God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather with your people, Lord, in a free America. God, I pray that today as we get ready for the offering, Lord, that we would give back to you as you have given to us. Lord, you are so good. You have given us so much. Lord, may we worship you in our offerings this morning as we give back to you. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon it, that it would be used for your glory to further the work of Christ. And Lord, as we prepare for the preaching of your word, I pray that we'd have ears that are open and a heart that's receptive of your word. God, anoint our pastor and use him in a very powerful way. God, may the word of God change our hearts today and our lives. Lord, we give you all the glory for what's said and done in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
can you imagine? Here's Abner. And Abner's entrusted with caring for Saul, the king. And so the king goes and lays down in a trench that night. And the Bible says they surrounded King Saul. Abner was the lead man. He was in charge. He had to protect the king. But that night, God sent a deep sleep. They're all sleeping. Abishai came. He was with David. David's going to be the new king in time when Saul dies. But Abishai says to David, says three times, he goes, "Let's kill Saul. The Lord hath delivered him to your hand." And David said, "Don't touch God's anointed. Don't touch him." Now, he was a man that had been given over to witchcraft. He was a man that was given over to lying. He was a man that was given over to trying to kill David. And David said, "Don't touch him. You can't touch the man of God." Let me throw this in just by way of introduction. I am shocked today, this Sunday, March the 13th, the number of pastors in America today that are going into their pulpits. I dealt with one yesterday. Every day this week I've talked to that are going to their pulpits where their laymen are standing up and resisting the man of God. You know, God bless you. I pastor the world's greatest church. Amen. Maybe there's problems here I don't know about. But I tell you what, after 50 years pastoring, it's the delight of my life to pastor the great North Valley Baptist Church. But I can't imagine anybody trying to, any deacon. I have 44 deacons. I can't imagine a deacon trying to hijack my pulpit. I can't imagine, I got 75 employees. I can't imagine an employee standing up and resisting the authority that God's invested in my, they're smarter than, all these employees are smarter than me. I look at myself in the mirror, I think, my goodness, I don't even know how to turn on a computer. You talk about a case of the stupids. I mean, I have no idea how to use a computer. I don't know anything that these people know. But I'm still their pastor.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God's Amen. Put God by His grace took a stuttering, stammering young man and put me in the ministry. I'm grateful that over 50 years ago that God gave me this privilege to pastor the greatest church in all the world. And that's how Abner should have felt. And yet David came and he took from Saul some of his armor and he took some of his clothing. And the next morning he gets up and David yells across the valley, "Hey, Saul!" And Saul was hunting David, and he wakes up and he says, "I hear his voice. Let's go get him. Where is he?" And David said, "Hey, Saul! Abner should die. He was entrusted to care for you, Saul. Whose garments is this? Whose sword is this? Whose is this?" And the Bible says that Saul said, "I've been a fool." Look at what he says, and here's our message, verse 21. And Saul said, "I have sinned. Return my son David. I will do no harm to thee, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, read these next five words with me. Behold, ready, begin. I have played the fool." Stop. I played the fool. I wonder today, are you playing the fool, teenager? Across this house, are you playing the fool? You're playing like you love God, but you don't love God. You're going to graduate from high school and be out of here. Years ago, I said to our college, probably 29 years ago, I said to our college, I was preaching on this, maybe 28 years ago, I was preaching and I said, "Some of you, though you're in Bible college and you're studying for the ministry, some of you ought to go live in a 6x9 room because that's where you're going to live your life." And I said, "What am I talking about?" I'm talking about a jail cell. I'll never forget the boy, he's very tall, taller than mine. And he came to me at the invitation, he said, "Brother Treber, that will never be me." But can I tell you this story? It's him today. For years, he's been in prison. Studying for the ministry, he played the fool. I love the guy. I'd go see him if I could. I'd go visit them if I can. We've got Brother Raymond, Brother Thomas, Brother Whitlow. They're going to the prisons this coming Tuesday. They're going to hold a revival in one of our state prisons. They hold them every week somewhere in America. And they're seeing so many prisoners saved. Amen. I love the prisoners. I want to help the prisoner. I love the drug addict. I love the alcoholic. I want to help them. But don't play the fool, become an alcoholic. Don't play a fool, become a drug addict. I'm shocked. I am just literally shocked at the kids that grow up in Christian schools, and they obey their parents, and they obey, and they come to camp, and they make decisions for God, and then they become alcoholics, they become drug addicts. I've been in these jails all over Santa Clara County, and I go to visit them almost every time. I'm on this side of the mirror. I pick up on the window. I pick up the phone. They're on the other side, and they unhook them from their chains around their waist. And they give them one free hand to pick up the receiver. And they all think they're going to come talk to their Lord every time. But they're talking to their pastor. And I look at them so many times. And they look up and they think they're going to talk to. And they see me, my face. And always they drop the phone and bury their head. And they start to cry. They don't want to be there. They don't want a life of drugs and drinking and driving. They don't want a life of alcohol. They don't want that life. But some reason they're so weak. You're playing the fool. My Bible says, I want you to go back with me to chapter number 9. By way of introduction, it'll be a long introduction, a short message. Here's King Saul. There was a man of the Benjamin whose name was Kish. He was a mighty man. He had a choice son whose name was Saul. You know, Saul, Brother Fuller, Saul grew up in a good home. His daddy was from the tribe of Benjamin. They were in charge of the worship of God. He grew up in a good home. I imagine if we would use it in today's vernacular, from Kish had Bible time with his family. Every night had prayer time with his family. We raised three children. They're all in the ministry today as preachers of the gospel, and I'm so excited about it. But I remember going to their little cribs when they were little babies and praying over as they slept in their cribs at night. I remember sneaking in the room when they were young and going to pray for them. Our girls became about fifth or sixth grade. I stopped sneaking in there at night, but I'd go to the door and I'd pray for my little girls that they'd come to know Christ and serve Christ with their life, and they all are. I prayed for my sons and my sons-in-laws that they'd serve God. They're all serving God. Amen. But I tell you what, that's what Saul grew up. He grew up in a good home. Some of you are growing up in a good home. You have a good church at least. Amen. And thank God for the church. But not only did he have a tremendous home, but he had tremendous physique. Verse 2, he was a choice young man, goodly. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier that person. From the shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was a tall, strong, good-looking man. Tremendous home. Tremendous physique. I'm thinking right now that Saul must have looked a lot like me. That wasn't funny, folks. You're not supposed to be laughing. I'm having the hardest time. Let's just pull it over. I'm having the hardest time with this stomach right now. My wife looks at me and she says, "You're fat." And she's right. I for years, Brother Martinez, for years, I could lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks. I could just lose it. I could just, I get a little heavy. I say, okay, I have tried everything. Oh, I've tried one meal a day. That doesn't work. Tried it one day. But I tried it many days. I tried no snacks after 7 o'clock at night. I've tried working out. I do sit-ups. I did one, then a 10 of them. I said, I'm going to do this every day for 1 month. And I did it for one day. And next time I thought of it was 2 weeks later. But I try to eat healthy. I don't drink Cokes. I don't eat ice cream. I don't eat. I do eat a little ice cream. Where's Peter at? I hear the good somewhere coming from right over there. God bless you. But I eat a little bit of ice cream. Not much. I don't have chocolate. I love chocolate. I don't have, not milk chocolate, by the way. No milk chocolate. Dark chocolate. With walnuts. But that's another subject. his physique. Brother Reimers, feel that muscle. Just feel that muscle. Just feel that muscle. No, no, no. It's down here. That's where you need to feel. I know I'm not, but I'm still alive. He had a good, tremendous physique. He had a good, tremendous home. In addition, look what else the Bible says in chapter number 9, verse number 3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's fathers, were lost. And Kish said to his son, take now one of thy servants with thee and arise and seek the asses. He had a tremendous obedient heart. I'll go find my dad's donkeys. Man, what an obedient heart. But not only that, look at chapter 10. Go to chapter 10, the next chapter, verse 1. He was separated unto God. Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is not because the Lord hath anointed thee? Look at verse number 6. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee. Thou shalt be turned into another man. Verse number 9, God gave him another heart. I mean, this man, he had it going. I won't spend more time, but I will tell you that he started to go downhill when he started to worship God his way, chapter 13. Here's how I'm going to go worship God. He was a king. He had no business doing the priest's job. But he said, I called for the priest. He's not coming. It's been 7 days. I'm going to go in there and offer sacrifice to God. And he did. But it wasn't his job to do that. And God says, because of this, I'm going to deny you the power that you could have had. He played the fool. Not only that, with his pride, he was tempted of the devil from that evil spirit. And they called for David. David soothed them with playing the harp and playing the musical instruments. But the next time he throws a javelin at him at his banquet table, trying to kill him. And then again, he tries to kill him. Now he's hunting him like a partridge. David said in our passage, chapter 26, where we are now, he said, I'm but a flea. I'm nothing. God creates you to be the king. I am not the king. I'm just a zero compared to you, king. But his jealousy got him. I wonder if jealousy is getting hold of your heart tonight, today. I wonder if anger toward your husband. You see, some of you think you could have done better than the wife God gave you. Some of you think you could have done better by the husband that God gave you. Well, God didn't give him to me. I just got married and I was lonely and I got married. But you said till death do us part. 53 years ago, God gave me a beautiful wife. And I'm so thankful that we've been in the ministry together for all these years. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's not been easy for her or for me. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes I didn't understand that woman. Nobody amens, fellas. Sometimes, ladies, you can say amen. I'll give you sometimes I didn't understand that man. Yeah, a couple of you ladies brave enough. I figured out the problem in marriage. Women just don't think like men. True? Come on, fellas, help me here. If you just think like us, we'd have no problem. One single man says amen. Women don't think like men. My wife and I, we're still hilarious to this day because she can think of 10 and 15 and do all these things at the same time. She can talk on her cell phone, be cooking, put the oven up with her foot. She can do it all. Not me. I have to, this one thing I do. I haven't cooked a lot, but the last couple of years I've had to cook because of my wife's injuries and whatnot. But I tell you what, I don't know how you chefs and chefettes, is that what a lady is, chefette? I don't know how you get it all together. I get all the vegetables warm and they're ready to go. But then I got the mashed potatoes over here. and they're not ready. So I got to get them. Then and then the bread, and then the meat. I don't know how you do it. And fellas, ladies, close your ears for a minute. It's a case of the stupids. When you tell your wife you know how to cook, don't ever tell her. Don't ever admit that. Don't ever admit that you know how to wash the clothes. Don't admit that. I'm going to have a session some Sunday morning just for you men. There are some things you don't want to let your wife in that you know how to do. You know, life's difficult, but we've found what helps us. I believe almost every night, if not every night, 53 years of marriage, we've prayed together at the end of the day. It's hard to argue with your wife and dispute with your wife and have a problem with your wife. Say, okay, let's pray. Our Father, and then start it up again. You can't do it. It's just not, Brother Panera, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I know what I'm talking about, your wife, because she's my daughter. But nonetheless, I'm telling you about the fact that Saul played the fool. Take your Bibles and go to, today was Proverbs 15, so let's go to Proverbs 15, shall we? Look in Proverbs 15, please. In Proverbs 15, you have the illustration of the fool. The fool is mentioned 82 times in the book of Proverbs alone. Just 82 times God says, you're a fool. You're a fool. Look what he says in chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Fellas, most of the fights that you have with your wife, you don't need to have because you're opening your mouth when you should keep your mouth shut. Maybe, just maybe, your wife is right. Maybe you ought to listen to her. Look what it says in verse number 5. A fool despises his father's instruction. He that regardeth reproof is prudent. There's maturity with that. Look what he says, please, in verse number 10. A wise son maketh a glad mother, but a foolish man despises her mother. Go back, if you will, to chapter 2. Verse 20, let's read verse 20 together. Proverbs chapter 2, this is a good text. Ready? Begin. God says, I want you to walk with good men. I want you to walk with men that are not fools. We are living in a day, Brother Morris, you and I can't believe this. We're living in a day where men have become gossips. Men get on the internet and they gossip about everything. And they throw things out there. I'm wondering, what in the world, what kind of man are you? Well, he offended me. Get over that nonsense. Be a man. I mean, be a man. Men don't get offended. Real men don't get offended. Walk with wise men, you'll not be offended. My Bible declares that here was Saul, and every decision he made, God says, all right, I want you to go utterly destroy the Amalekites. Don't spare any of the Amalekites. Kill every Amalekite. By the way, go to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Will you go there? We're about done. 2 Samuel chapter 1, just a couple of verses over, a couple of pages over. So here is Saul on Mount Gilboa, and his boys are with him, and they're all dying because they've been wounded in the battle. And David said unto him, verse 4, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. The people are fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and are dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. David said to the young man, told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? He says, as a young man, he told him, said, I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa. Behold, Saul leaned on his spear, and lo, the chariot of the horsemen followed hard. And he looked behind me, and he saw me, and called, and said, and I answered, here am I. And he said to me, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am an Amalekite." That Amalekite killed Saul. Why did Saul die by the hand of an Amalekite? Because he did not obey God in 1 Samuel. He said, "I don't have to kill them all. I'm going to spare these people." And an Amalekite killed them. What is it going to take for God's people to wake up to righteousness and put away all this foolish behavior of ours? I think of our finances and how foolish we are with our finances. How careless we are with the money that God entrusts to our care. Why is it that this young couple can figure out how to buy a house and pay it off at a young age in their 30s, and this couple can't figure out how to buy one? Why is it this couple can figure out how to pay cash for a vehicle and this one can't figure it out? Why is it? We're not living with an order in our life. We're making $500 a week or $1,000 a week or $1,500 a week or $2,000, $100,000 a year, and you're making that. And I'm thinking, how in the world can we not pay our bills? Because we're undisciplined. We're foolish. Amen. We're foolish with our expenditures. We're foolish with God. How come the average Christian cannot read his Bible 5 minutes a day and pray 5 minutes? How is it? 5 minutes? Can't you give God 5 minutes? Amen. You know why? Because we're playing the fool. How come we cannot spend time in confession? God, I am wrong. I have sinned. Because our proud spirit. We're not going to admit to God or anybody that we've done wrong. No, it's the other people. They've done wrong. No, how about you? It's not my brother, nor my sister. It's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. I've tried to pastor this church for all these years, not looking down on God's people, but preaching to us. Yes. Amen. Preaching to my heart. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My heart is so full of corruption that I've got to walk with God and confess my sins to God. How about you, child of God? Saul's getting up in that life, and he's been being the king for years, and he said, "I've played the fool. I've played a fool. I'm so grateful that my wife has humbled herself in our marriage, and I've had to humble myself more than her because it's always me. I've said this before, I'll be done. Don't you remember, honey, when I don't know what the conflict, we had a conflict maybe 50 years ago. It was a conflict over something. And I'm telling you this, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to win this battle. She is not winning, Sister Katie. She is not going to win this battle. She's wrong, I'm right. Well, she wasn't going to let me win. She's right, I'm wrong. And we had an impasse there. Jericho, don't look so innocent there. You know what I'm talking about here. Now, I can see it right there. And I finally realized she was right and I was wrong. And so I came to her, Bethany, 1851. So this had to happen 49 years ago. We were living on Bethany Avenue in San Jose. And I said, "Honey, I was wrong." You know, Brother Bill, that's hard to say to a woman. I'm telling you right now. You've never had to say that, have you? No, no, no. We'll straighten him out at the invitation. But I had to say, "Honey, I was wrong." You know what she had the audacity to say? "Thank you." And walked away. I couldn't believe she did that. I said, "Well, Cindy, yes. What about you?" And then she had the audacity to put more oil on the fire. She said, "Jack, I wasn't wrong." I wasn't wrong. And so I blew up again. And had to come back. She goes, "You know what, honey? You are negotiating. But a true apology is not a negotiation." You know what I'm talking about, Brother Swanson. She seems so sweet and so kind, but oh, she can drive a hard bargain. Where is she at? Down here somewhere. That's my pride. I'm so full of pride. I'm so full of self-will. I'm so full of my own agenda. We're all that way. Amen. And until we come to the point where we say, God, I don't have an agenda anymore. I want your agenda. Amen. I want your plan. And I think that was maybe our last, that was almost 49 years. That was probably our last big argument. I don't know. We don't need to argue. Instead, I need to submit myself. I need to stop being such a dictator. And that's where you are, ladies. You want to control your husband. As long as he obeys, everything's fine. He disobeys, you want to control your wife, sir. That's your problem. That's your issue. You want to control that alcohol that you cannot control. God's going to have to give you grace, and you're going to have to pray every day, God, give me grace to handle this. I can't understand it, Brother Martinez. You deal with so many people in your class that are suffering with sin. I can't imagine a bottle. Why can't you say no to a bottle? But I'm here to tell you, it's got to be hard. When you're an alcoholic, that I don't know what goes on, but that has to be very, very difficult. And you're going to need to get some accountability and some help and call your pastor. Or call one of the pastors in this auditorium or some godly lady and help you. You're going to have to get some godly Titus chapter 2 lady, help you be a wife. It's a wonderful thing to be a wife. It's a wonderful thing to be a mother. But not when you're not a fool, when you're a fool. The fool is the person that destroys his own life. Foolishness destroys, bitterness will destroy its own container every time. Anger destroys its own container every time. An unforgiving heart destroys the container that God has given to you. I've played a fool. Stop playing the fool. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, I thank you for these dear people I love so much. I love them. They know I love them. They're my life. I think about them through the day. I pray for them through the day. They're on my mind all the time. I can't get them off my heart. God, I'm so grateful for visitors that have come back today. Second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. Thank you for faithful members. Thank you for those that are not members, but they come regularly. God, speak to our hearts today. Oh, help us not to play the fool. Help these teenagers not to play the fool. I played a fool.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.